This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the sports betting network. We welcome you in on a Friendship Friday. We have a 3 hours planned for you that you're not going to be able to get over all weekend. I mean, first off, we're coming hot out the gate because I can't sugarcoat it. I'm terrified about tonight in Edmonton, Alberta. We've got Game 6 Stanley Cup Final, of course. The reverse sweep is in play for Connor McDavid. And, of course, the Edmonton Oilers. It is right now, it's tight. As a Panthers fan, a longtime Panthers fan, it's starting to get tight. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not overly confident. So what I need, and Eddie Olczyk, who's the best? So Eddie Olczyk, we're going to come out hot out the gates coming up in the next segment. So 12:15, Eddie Olczyk's going to join us. Eddie's the best. I'm going to ask him to calm my nerves a little bit here. You see the pricing, even money on the Panthers. You got to lay $1.20 on the Oilers. That standard 5.5. If we sniff an over 5.5 tonight, we're going to a game 7. That's one thing I do know. But as we start the program, Dustin Sweetelson, they call him Double Shift Dustin. I'm Patrick Maher. We're live from Los Angeles. We get you started here. We're going to have Thomas Gable. We'll find out how they're betting the hockey behind the book. Frank, am I right? I didn't say his name correctly, but he's going to come on and talk some football. We've got Mike Somich to join us in the third hour, and that's going to be a bit of an awkward segment because today's a Friendship Friday, and Somich forgot about being friends. So it's going to be awkward, but stick around to find out how that goes. Now to Dustin, of course, Double Shift today, which is tremendous. A great job by you. Of course, lit up the room there, a numbers game for 2 hours. I don't know how you got through that, but I'm glad you're here. And I start with you just once on this program. And whether it's you, whether it's Halterman, whether it's Somich, whether it's the family, whether it's the survivors, whether it's whomever, just once I need somebody to pick me up. Okay? It's a Friday. Yesterday we go 0-3 with the family plays. I'm taking a look at the sheet right now. The big guy went 1-5 yesterday. Can you pick me up for once? All right, I need vibes. We need to have a good show, a focus show, and again, double shifting. I'm a little worried you might run out of gas here.
Oh.
But we're gonna need some focus today as we welcome you in for the first time.
Double Shift, not to be confused with Double Play, a baseball podcast which I host with Adam Burke Mondays and Thursdays. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. Pressure is the theme of the day, Patrick. Pressure. Who is the pressure on? More pressure on the Oilers to force a game 7 and stay alive. More pressure on the Panthers to not allow it to get a game 7, or more pressure on me when John Goulet called me and said, hey, there's no one left to produce. Can you please fill in on a numbers game on Friday, June 21st? Where does the pressure lie the most?
Well, John, he misspoke. There's no one to host, so you had to go and host. But anyway, I digress. So the pressure is on you today, big guy. So let's keep focused, okay? And going into tonight, here's the thing. To say the series has taken a turn is a bit of an understatement. The Panthers, of course, up 3-0 in the series. Stanley Cup Final coming up tonight. This Panthers up 3-0 in the series, and then Edmonton in games 4 and 5 outscore the Panthers 13-4. If you need them, all the momentum, all of the energy, all of the confidence, it's now squarely with Edmonton. Now you brought up the pressure, and tonight the pressure is squarely, again, if we go back to a game 7, the pressure's on the Panthers. I think the pressure's on the Oilers tonight because you just outscored them games 4 and 5. Connor McDavid is being called McJesus. You outscored them 13-4. You've got them rattled. This is a huge spot. The barn was crazy in the first two games in Edmonton. We're going to see the likes, this energy tonight in Edmonton, both inside and outside the arena, is going to be spectacular. And you've got a team in the Panthers that shook with a shook goaltender walking into that barn with a bunch of Canadians that are going to be lit up. Okay, so momentum, energy, confidence, it's all with Edmonton right now. And of course, they're chasing for only the third time in Stanley Cup history, they're chasing the reverse sweep.
And that's essentially where they stand. If they go on to win this, they drop the first three, they finish off four in a row, that'd be nuts. But this is really what it comes down to. It's a big gut check time, big guy, for the Panthers, because their defense has been stellar the entire postseason. They, along with Dallas, were the best road teams in the regular season. They're great on the road, but specifically the specials. The power play, the penalty kill is killing them, because you dig into the numbers as far as the Panthers, 5-on-5 stats, they're still great. As a matter of fact, let's do this. Let's go ahead and toss out the 8-1 loss on the Saturday. Aberration, okay? The other four games in this series so far, Edmonton has 4 goals, Dustin Swedelson, at even strength. So 5-on-5. Outside of Saturday, which is just kind of one of those that you toss it. We tossed it with the Celtics, who are out there celebrating a parade today like anybody cares. But you toss out that Saturday and the other four games, even strength. So 5-on-5, which is where the Panthers excel, 4 goals over 4 games. So what am I trying to tell you? I started off by saying I'm nervous. I can't sugarcoat it. I am. But here's what I need from the Panthers. And Paul Maurice, if you need me, you could tell I'm dialed in on the puck right now. So if you need me, whether it be for pumping the boys up, you get them buzzing a little bit. If you need me for strategy, I'm about to help you out, because this is what we need. I need the most boring, quiet arena in the history of sport. All right. I need a game that is so boring, so ugly. I need the identity of the Panthers to show up. I need a 1-0 win tonight. All right, so you obviously see where I'd go with that 5.5. But if the Panthers are going to win this, they need to make this disgusting. They're the better two-way team. They're better even strength. And do me a favor, if you are the Panthers, can we not go ahead and give up shorties endlessly? You know, a shorthanded goal for a team that's so defensive-minded is actually embarrassing. So why don't we go ahead and clean that up as well going into tonight? Now, the big guy, he's waiting his turn to get in on the hockey, because all of a sudden he thinks he's Scotty Bowman. But I'm telling you right now, 1-0, make it ugly. I don't care. Hoist the cup. Go get lit. Do what you want to do. And then go down to Florida, and they'll show those Boston Celtics fans what a real parade looks like. Because the energy, I don't know if it's the winning, I don't know if it's the championships, but the energy is just not up in New England. We should, in fact, we should hit up Josh Applebaum to see if he went to the parade, you know, hanging out there with his astute friends drinking IPAs. I don't want any of that. The only thing I care about, Panthers Oilers. They got to make it ugly, big guy. Let's go. And well, Eddie Olczyk's going to come on in just about 4 minutes. He's going to tell us what's going to happen. So
1-for-16 on the power play, not getting it done. Edmonton, by the way, 3 power play goals in their last 2 wins. But Bobrovsky's still the story. What version of him are we going to get tonight, Patrick? Is he shook? Has Edmonton figured him out? Is a combination of both? And can he recapture the form that had him going into game 3 a minus $2 favorite for the Conn Smythe? And now all of a sudden, it doesn't look like he has a shot at winning this award. McDavid may even win in a loss. That's what the market's telling us. You have to lay a huge price on him right now. Bobrovsky, does he go back to being the guy we know as Bob?
Well, have you ever heard of Novokuznetsk?
Nope.
Because that's where he's from in Russia. Ooh. And if he doesn't pull himself together, he's going back there. It's literally cold 12 months out of the year. All right, Bob, you hit the lottery. Some would say Gil hit the lottery having the big guy with him today. You hit the lottery when you grew up in maybe the most deprived place ever, where it's never light and it's always cold, and now you live in Miami. You've won 2 Vezinas. You started off the series perfectly. You're probably hanging with OnlyFans models.
Whoa.
All right? You have Hawk Tua. You know what I'm saying? You have an opportunity. Look, he's laughing. Look, there he goes. You have an opportunity tonight to repay. You have an opportunity tonight to repay America for what it's given you. You went from Russia to Miami.
Oh, my God.
So pull yourself together, Bobrovsky, and play like you did in the first three games. That's all I'm asking. All right? We could use some of that girl's energy.
Oh,
somebody's self-assured. Haktua is what I'm talking about here, people.
Knocking the cobwebs off for sure. That's the goal for Bob. My God, I was waiting for one of us to mix that into a show. Did not have it being you to figure it out first, but congratulations, sir, because that is sweeping the nation.
If you don't know, check out the social medias and you will find out. Okay, but I had to mix it in. Mixing that girl in with Bobrovsky was the only way to go. So that's what we have here.
All right.
And I can't tell if I'm petrified or confident. I'm somewhere. That's why I need to pick up today. I need you guys to pick me up.
You also have to project how would you be if they somehow lose this game. And then you have to feel the emotions for a game 7 on Monday. For content purposes, I love it. Game to preview on a Monday. However, for American purposes of rooting against Canada here, I don't like it. And we are a big Florida show. I want to convince you of a bet later in the show, though, based on everything you said. There's a bet I see over at DraftKings that just makes a lot of sense for me. I'll get your thoughts and I'll get Samich's thoughts on them.
And get that freak Davidson to give us a hockey play.
He's got one. We have a video.
Oh, okay. Because I'm going to make this very clear, Dustin. 1-0 win tonight. Because here's why. If this game goes to a game 7, there is a 0% chance the Florida Panthers win.
Agree.
None. Zero, zippy, zilch. It's over. Johnny. Not Johnny, Eddie. Eddie Olczyk is coming up next to talk Stanley Cup final.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, VSiN.com, check it out. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, and betting guides. It's all there at VSiN.com. The perfect person to talk Game 6 Stanley Cup Final up in Edmonton tonight is also one of the nicest guys ever, Eddie Olczyk. Of course, 16 seasons NHL, NHL on TNT. NBC with the horse racing, where I don't know how he's that good at two, but Eddie Olczyk joins us. But before we get to the hockey, what did you think about the switch up this year there at Saratoga?
Yeah. Hi, Patrick. Nice to be with you. Hope you're doing well. And
you too.
As long as either the 7 or 9 horse can win race 6 at that Aqueduct today, I'll be a happy human this weekend. So we're pulling for the 7 or 9 in the next race at Belmont. So good to be with you. I mean, look, you got to play the hand that's dealt, right? I mean, Belmont, you had, you're having some renovations there, a major renovation. It's a couple of years in the making. So this year is the first time that Belmont's ever been run outside of Belmont Park and was run at Saratoga at a shorter distance. And like I said, you just, you got to play the hand that's dealt and you got to be quick on your feet. And I thought NYRA, New York Racing Association, and everybody involved. I was actually there that weekend at Saratoga to see a little history myself, so it was pretty awesome.
Eddie, that was, and again, we love the coverage. Tonight is going to be crazy. There is juice in the Stanley Cup final. I know you're up there grinding Aqueduct while you prepare for the game. We had Kenny Danico. We had Kenny Danico on the show yesterday. He said, my sister called me for tickets because he's from Edmonton. Let's just start with the atmosphere as we get to a game 6 here up in Edmonton tonight.
Well, I would imagine it's going to be, it's going to be off the charts. I mean, I covered, I had Edmonton a handful of times in the playoffs, including in the conference final, where they ended up beating out the Dallas Stars, and they've put themselves back in a position now. But look, there's still major pressure. I mean, the pressure from the aspect of, you've gotten this far, right? You're down 3-0. You all of a sudden you fought your way back. You've got another home game. So I think there is as much pressure as there is on Edmonton as there is on Florida. And look, Florida's a very good team. They've had, they had obviously a bad game 4, and they got off to a tough start in game 5. But then at times they really had their way with the Oilers. So I got to imagine it's going to be a gong show in Edmonton, and everybody's going to be all jacked up to you know, look at, there's history here that they're trying to write. And I think with the team that they have and the way that Connor McDavid is going and doing things that we've only seen being done by, you know, the greatest of all time and one of the greatest in all time, and Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux, respectively, when you look at the numbers that Connor McDavid is putting up. And look at, if he puts up another 3 or 4 point game, there's a hell of a chance that you're going back down to South Florida at sunrise and there's going to be a game 7 on Monday night. So I got to imagine that the atmosphere is going to be off the charts, and I'll look forward to tuning in tonight after my horse racing handicapping day is over, and we'll see if this thing gets to a game 7 on Monday.
Eddie, I'm going to be straight up with you. I bet pretty heavily in the series on the Panthers, and I'm terrified. I thought they were the better team. 5-on-5, they've still been good. The specials have let them down.
Yeah.
I'll ask, make me feel better about myself tonight as a Panthers backer.
Well, I mean, look, I thought, well, back in January, full disclosure, Patrick, I was asked, give me a cup finalist. You know, give me who you think is going to be in the cup final. And I said Dallas, Florida back in January. I know somebody, I think somebody got like 55 on that actual possible matchup. And, you know, obviously Dallas fell a little short against Edmonton. But, you know, look, I thought Florida going into the matchup, I said publicly, I was on with the boys in the morning with Mitch and Paulie, and I thought Florida in 5 games. Now we are in game 6, so... Look at it. Would I be shocked if Edmonton ends up winning the series? Yes, absolutely. After having a 3-0 lead, but it is hockey, and you just never know. But I just think Florida on the road—they've proven to be a very good team. You're right. The penalties have been an issue here. What have they taken, Patrick? 10 or 11 penalties here the last 2 games, and you can't give so-called free opportunities to a team that has the ability on a power play to be able to go 3-for-4 in a game, or go, 2-for-4. I mean, whatever the numbers are. So, but I just think that Florida has the depth and has proven over the course of time to be that type of team. And yeah, there's pressure, but like I said, I thought Florida would win the series, and they put themselves in a spot here where, you know, they better get their stuff together or they're going back home for game 7.
Eddie Bobrovsky, does this carry over? I didn't play the position, but know a ton of goalies. Is this something where once you're shook, and the first 3 games he was stellar, then all of a sudden the wheels have come off?
I mean, he's been pretty damn good in these playoffs. He's kind of had one bad game in every series, Patrick, when you look back at the run that they've had. So, you know, now, I mean, he's had a game plus here. Like, I didn't like the goal that he gave up, obviously, to McDavid the other day from the bad angle. He just looked like he just wasn't reading the play. But he's been, he's had some really, game 1, he was unbelievable, right? In the Stanley Cup final, he was flat off and gave his team an opportunity to win that game. That's why they won the game. Now, did they lose the 8-1 game because of him? I don't know. I don't think his team was, I don't think his team was good. I would probably put more blame on him for 5 than I would have for game 4. I just don't think he got a lot of help in game 4. So he has the ability to play one of those games, and sure, it gets in your head. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's sports, and doesn't matter what, position or what part of the team you are, is when you start kind of, thinking about everything other than just doing your job or whatever, or you're thinking about what's happened in the past. It's just human nature. It's people that say, you do have to have a reliever's mentality, but I guarantee you, when there's been relievers in Major League Baseball that have had a tough outing or two in a playoff series, and all of a sudden they're getting the ball again, I mean, it's hard not to take the ball on the mound and sit there and go, okay, well, I can't do this, and this is how I got beat the last time. But you do have to have a short-term memory, and I think for Bobrovsky, he gets an opportunity to play one game, and that's the way, if you're Florida, you have to look at it, Patrick. You have to sit there and say, hey, all we got to do is win the first period tonight. That's it. Be even or head on the road,
and then the pressure will mount against Edmonton. Like that to me is the key. Is that, you know, the even or ahead for the for the Florida Panthers tonight. You don't want to chase the game, but look at they had to chase the game the other night and quite easily could have tied that game. You don't want to fall down three goals. I mean, if you fall down one, okay. I think Florida's good enough to be able to come back. But unless in a shorthand of goals as well, right? Because they're giving them the back in their chances, they're giving a shorthand of goals. And you give up two power play goals, that's not a good remedy for success in the playoffs.
We've got a pick five starting at Gulfstream in 4 minutes, so I'm going to let you go and get back to your job. And then you will be, of course, in Edmonton, NHL on TNT tonight, NBC, the great Eddie Olczyk. Eddie, you're the best. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Have a good day. Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. I do. We had a little bit of an issue with the phone. I do apologize, but he's like literally
he's awesome.
The best guy ever.
He's an all-timer.
He is.
He's an all-timer.
He's an all-timer. And beat cancer. Colon cancer.
I actually have his book. A signed copy.
Such a good dude. He is, and he's he's a great player. 16 seasons. He is, I've heard from so many people that have randomly run into him. And obviously we know Samich, Halterman, myself. We know a lot of people in the horse racing industry. Everybody says the same thing. Olczyk's the best. Just a great person. Good dude.
And he's the lead guy on TNT. I mean, and TNT does an awesome job with their coverage. You know, tonight most...
Mm-mm. No, he does an awesome job.
Okay.
I have some ideas about the programming.
Oh, okay. Oh, Patrick Programmer.
He needs to be featured more.
I agree with
Look,
that.
I know broadcast. That is... They're trying to get the NBA thing, that vibe going, but they don't have the people to execute. Eddie needs to be more prominently involved.
That's totally fair. But he's awesome on games. You want to pull him out of a game to go into the studio. He's so good on the games.
Yeah. No, he's great on the games. So the connection wasn't great. I obviously wanted to follow up and ask, were we going to see a game 7? But I had to get him back to the horse racing because we were going in and out. And I saw the big guy freaking out.
I was just trying to assess and manage. You know, I don't think it was necessarily a cell tower issue. It was like a angle of the phone microphone issue. And I wasn't about to pick up the phone and be like, hey, Eddie, can you talk into the microphone sideways?
Yeah, that's exactly what I know. He's like such a nice guy. I can't be like, hey, Donk, you know how you work a phone? That would have been awkward. We've got the top 10 off seasons in the NFL. We're going to apply to the market as well. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, 13 months, $199. That is how you become a VSiN pro. Actually, that's the deal you're getting. How you become a VSiN pro is you go to VSiN.com/subscribe and use the promo code SHARP, and you get everything, including you can jump in on Sharp Money Survivor. We're going to start up the contest. Nish Gandhi, killing it, will start up again on Monday, as is customary, but... Again, you get the picks, you get the splits, you get the guides, you get everything we offer. When you become a VSiN Pro, become part of the family. VSiN.com/subscribe. Use that promo code SHARP. Okay, we got you back here on the program. Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas at the D. We've got a very busy show. And again, the energy today on this Friendship Friday. And that includes you, not Dustin. That includes all of you. You're part of this, or you're part of the friendship. It's someone's got to pick me up. I was hoping it was going to be Eddie Olczyk, but his phone didn't work. So I have to scratch, like literally the best guy ever. I couldn't hear him. So down goes Olczyk. So Kenny Danico yesterday was awesome, but I got vibes from Danico that we're going to game 7.
Mm.
He let me down. I'm a Panthers backer. Dustin goes 1-5 yesterday. 0-3 family plays. No big deal. He let me down. Samich. I couldn't get a hold of Samich if I mailed him something, right? Old school. He doesn't text back. He doesn't call. He doesn't write. All he does is post articles over at VSiN.com, which you can check out. The bottom nine. No. Yes. So that's Samich. Halterman, that's just Halterman. He's always going to be, hey, guys, howdy doody, that type of thing. So, again, I don't know who's going to step up over the next 2.5 hours. We're going to have Thomas Gable on the program up in a half hour. He's generally there. He generally has my back. We've got plenty, but there's a lot of pressure on you, big guy.
Yeah, look, I think you need a vibe buster. We've heard of slump busters, the vibe buster. I was going to save this for closed tabs. I'm going to read an email I got this morning from Spencer Campbell that I enjoyed. Spencer writes at sharpmoney@vsin.com. Hi, guys. Love the show. Thought I'd share this with you. My mail lady brought some packages to my door yesterday. They were for my daughter who just turned 18. I told the mail lady that my daughter tells me she's an adult now, and I said she should start paying for her own stuff if that's the case. So what did the mail lady say back? I know that's right.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Well, that is. Who wrote that? Spencer?
Spencer Campbell. I thought you'd like it.
I don't like it. I love it. And, of course, that is from the Sweetelson picture he took up at the Legacy Club where he's blue stealing it into the camera. And I can't stop thinking he's just, I know that's right, because he's got it all dialed in. So, Spencer, your daughter, I know that's right. Thank you for that. Okay, so you know what? Spencer made me feel a little bit better.
All right, good.
Maybe you're onto something. Maybe somebody else can pick me up along the way. There it is. I know that's right. Look at him. Oh, my gosh. The big guy. Those of you listening on the radio, we just put up the picture. I can't get over that picture. It does stuff to me, and I don't know what it is. I can't tell if it's the most handsome picture ever taken or the worst picture ever taken.
That picture has since been added to my Hinge, my Bumble, my Facebook dating, my J Swipe, my Tinder profiles. And I have to tell you, it's not doing well on any of them. Not doing well.
Well, I do have to tell you, I don't ever talk about my private life, but I did hang out with a young lady last night. Yeah. I'll tell you this right now. Dating is for the birds. Well, who's supposed to talk? Well, who, like, all this kind of stuff. And I'm not really a person that's, like, again, I'm never going to trifle over bills or anything like that. Like, I'm a gentleman. Chivalry isn't dead. But it's just, it's a job interview. It's unbelievable.
Okay.
And, like, as an interviewer, like, all I do is just interview people. So I'm out with this. I can tell you the girl's blood type. You understand? Like, it's just way too. Dating's for the birds. Nice person. Would like to see her again. I may not, just because I don't want to go through that again.
Yeah, look, I get it. But as long as she's actually asking you questions, too, it's worth it. I know you don't love to reveal a whole lot about yourself, but it just means she's into it, and then the vibe can kind of keep going. I would tell you I'm running into some roadblocks on my end where I realize I'm the only one driving the conversation, and I already do that for 3 hours every day on Sharp Money, making things happen here. I don't want to do that in my personal life, too.
So you know what I did? She did. She's awesome, and she asked a ton of questions, big guy. So what I did to kind of give myself some brownie points, I told the Mike Palm story when she was asking questions about my background, because that's the story a book needs to be written about. Well, it started in Iowa. Let's get to the NFL. The big guy, he's laughing.
Hawk
he doesn't
Tua.
Generally laugh at anything
Hawk,
I say, but
Hawk
he's on
Tua,
one
man.
Today.
It's a Hawk Tua. Hawk Tua Tuesdays, Tua. We should call it.
Hawk Tua Friday.
I know it's a Friday.
All right, let's get to the NFL offseason. So I thought this could be fun. Those teams that improved over the offseason will go to the market over at DraftKings and apply. I told you to come up with your top five. I have 10, but I've kind of narrowed down my top five, and I think they're pretty. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to start with number five, and we can kind of go back and forth because we don't know the others as far as offseason programs in the NFL. Let's start with your top five, and we'll see if we match up here.
All right, my number five offseason in the NFL, I highly doubt you have this. I am oddly high on this team. The more I looked at the way they addressed specific needs and deficiencies this offseason, I think they made five key moves that I love, and that is the Jacksonville Jaguars. I love their offseason, and I'm not even factoring in Trevor Lawrence signing an extension with them. First, we'll talk about the receiver position, because Calvin Ridley out. Everyone's wondering how they're going to replace him. They draft Brian Thomas. They sign Gabe Davis. And then they address a major need in the offensive line with Mitch Morse. And then the defense. You have Arik Armstead coming over from San Fran to anchor the middle of that defensive line. Darnell Savage to bring some veteran leadership to the back end at safety. I love what the Jacksonville Jaguars did this offseason.
I did have Jacksonville in my top 10. They did not crack the top 5, but I actually think that's a good one. I don't hate that one. It's a big year for Lawrence. Again, terrible rookie year. You throw it out, Urban Meyer. Great second year. One of the great comebacks in the postseason. Last year, it wasn't necessarily because he started so well. It wasn't necessarily a regression because he doesn't have the talent. He was just injured. And I think he's a tough kid and played through it. So, yeah, that would be a good one. Jacksonville was on my list, but not top 5. And right now, season win total, you got to lay $125, 8.5 feels light.
Also, plus 275 to win the AFC South. I get we're all high on the Texans, who I'm sure we'll get to later on in this segment, but the Jacksonville Jaguars, to me, are an awesome buy-low candidate to win that division again. It's interesting when a team like Houston does what they do to go from the hunting to the hunted, and Jacksonville's kind of been there, done that before. So I think Jacksonville at plus 270 is an awesome number.
Okay, my number 5, best off-seasons NFL. This is going to be a weird NFL season if we're still employed, because I've never in 46 years been this bullish on the Detroit Lions. Like, I think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I'm not doing shtick. I'm not trying to do the okey-doke. The schedule sets up perfectly. Detroit retained the heart of its offense, my quarterback, Jared Goff, extension. Amon-Ra St. Brown, extension. Now you're thinking, well, this is an offseason. You're not talking about additions. No, this is addition. Penei Sewell, extension. The organization identified the defense's point of emphasis. Go get Marcus Davenport, DJ Reader, and specifically what they did. And again, Tyrion Arnold, I felt like he fell to him in the draft. But specifically what they did is they didn't lose Ben Johnson. That's if you told me that Ben Johnson was a Commanders head coach, I'm telling you, I don't know if it's a playoff team. Legitimately. Ben Johnson, the vibes are high, kept all the talent. Davenport, Reader, number 5, Lions.
I think you can make the case every addition, every subtraction, every coach hiring, every move. Ben Johnson staying in the Motor City is the biggest domino that fell to keep a team in the Super Bowl conversation. Having to start from scratch with Jared Goff, who's fine as a player, he's been schemed up perfectly by Ben Johnson, keeping him there. Addressing the cornerback position was massive. Carlton Davis coming in as well on the other side now from Tyrion Arnold. That's huge. You mentioned the Reader pickup. They added a ton of depth throughout. I remember when I first started betting in 2018, I bet on the Lions. They blew like a 30-point second-half lead to the Arizona Cardinals in week one. And I came back and I told you at the studio before we started our show, and you said, bro, don't ever bet your money on the Detroit Lions. Now in 2024, you're bullish on them winning the freaking Super Bowl.
Yes, I am. So it's going to be a different type of fall on the program, and I'm going to have to come up with the shtick because I got nothing. I'm all in on this team.
They're
one
awesome.
Pride.
They're awesome.
They're awesome.
They're likable. They may be as balanced a team as we have in the NFL.
100%. So number 5 for you was Jacksonville. Number 5 for me was the Detroit Lions. The best off seasons NFL-wise, and we're going to the board at DraftKings. We continue. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network, DraftKings, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back a Friday program, Friendship Friday. We've got Samich coming up. We've got Gable coming up. We've got plenty to do. We're into the NFL off seasons and applying the best off seasons in the NFL to the DraftKings market. Just quickly, an update on those games in progress. The Mets are pummeling. The Mets are on a heater. They're pummeling the Cubs right now, 11-1, middle 4. So the big guys fired up. 44th minute, Euros, great matchup. Netherlands and France, scoreless, 0-0. And Poland got beat by Austria today, 3-1. Ukraine beat Slovakia, 2-1. Okay. So five for you was Jacksonville. Five for me was the Detroit Lions. Big guy, number four.
All right, number four is, look, I think there's a lot of questions about the moves they made, but there's no doubt they addressed massive, massive needs. And with the way this team's assembled, the window, the pressure, I think they had to go big risk, big reward. I'm talking about the New York Jets. So this team, obviously everything hinges on Aaron Rodgers. That's, everyone's aware of that. But they had massive issues on the offensive line. The defense... Really, the big changes for the defense is they swap out Bryce Huff, who goes to Philly. They end up getting Hassan Reddick back there, and that's kind of the swap they make to anchor their edge rushing. The rest of the defense pretty much stays the same and should continue to be dominant. The offensive line, they go out Morgan Moses, John Simpson, Tyron Smith, and Tyron Smith is a huge injury red flag, but I think they have enough depth to make up for him possibly going down this year, whereas last year, this offensive line was bad, hence Aaron Rodgers lasting 4 seconds into the season. Mike Williams comes in. I obviously love that move. And I just think they've assembled a team that's ready to take advantage of an AFC East that I think they are the most talented team. So I love what the Jets did. They said, look, if we're going to win, Aaron Rodgers has to be able to stay upright. They address the offensive line. They know the defense is going to be awesome. It's win now mode. They are all in, chips all the way in, and I love every move they made.
Yeah, I had them top 10. I did not have the Jets top 5, but I understand it. Season win total at DraftKings, 9.5, a little juice to the over. AFC East for the Jets. The Bills, I'm down on the Bills. The Bills are plus 170. The Jets are plus 190, your second betting favorite, a dime ahead of the Dolphins at 2-1, and the Pats, who are a toss, at 25-1. Okay, my number four. Now, this one may seem weird, but remember, an offseason is all-encompassing.
I like weird.
And this team itself had potentially the worst coach in the NFL coaching them last year, and he was a lame duck. So you have the worst coach, you have him as a lame duck, and it was just a disaster. The quarterback situation for this team last year, disastrous. Yes, I'm talking about the Washington Commanders, okay? And again, Dan Quinn, the vibes were low when he was hired. It seemed like a little bit of a letdown, but ever since then, you know, there's been a good PR campaign for Dan Quinn and what he's instilling there with the Commanders. First things first, Kingsbury can't coach, but he can call an offense, offensive coordinator. Jaden Daniels to put together with that style and Cliff Kingsbury. And more importantly, Adam Peters, the new general manager, who has quietly been filling holes, and I'm not going to give you the names because it would be boring, but they've just done a really good job of going out and getting dudes that line up with the Quinn system. Johnny Newton, like we can go into the names, but this is more about, think about where the Commanders were last year. And now think about where they sit this year. And it's not a good off season. It's a miraculous off season. They have a quarterback. They have a coach. They have an identity. The Washington Commanders sitting 6.5 on the season win total at DraftKings are number four for me.
Okay, so the thing about the Commanders that I love about this offseason is this is a foundation-building offseason. Are they going to make the playoffs? Are they going to win a ton of games? I'm not sure. But for the future, I think they did a lot of really smart things. One, I thought they had the best draft. They, through like the first four rounds, they got impact guys like Ben Sinnott, the tight end I love, Sainstrill, the slot corner out of Michigan. I love their draft. I thought they got a lot of great value impact guys. Newton, the defensive tackle, who they're going to be able to mix in now as a change of pace on that D-line that's absolutely loaded. But to your point about getting Dan Quinn guys in, I think it's more than just the guys that physically fit his system. There's two names that jump out to me immediately when I look at this offseason that go back to the foundational piece and kind of bring it along Dan Quinn's system for this young, inexperienced team that doesn't have a history of winning. You have Zach Ertz on the offensive end. On the defensive end, you have Bobby Wagner. Those guys have won a lot of football games. And they may have lost a step to a degree, but they're going to teach this young, inexperienced team how to win football games, and I think it's going to be massive. There's also talks of them using two halfback offensive sets with Kingsbury, with Eckler and Brian Robinson in the backfield together, with a quarterback like Daniels who can run. Yep. I think you have an opportunity for a super creative offense where they will steal a couple games against some good teams. But my key here is the foundational pieces to get this moving in the right direction. Everything they did, they checked every box.
That was a great breakdown. And you're right about Eckler. You have to use Eckler correctly.
Yes.
And Robinson can balance that. Eckler gets exposed when the workload goes up, but if you use him correctly, and Kingsbury, like you just said, will do that, it's going to be a surprise team. It's just a complete makeover. And right now, plus 105 on the Eagles. The Dallas Cowboys shot to John Goulet, had a weird offseason, plus 145. Oof. The Commanders are 8-1, and the Giants are 12-1.
They're okay. Going to be sneaky.
Nice. Yeah, it's a good breakdown there, big guy. Let's get to your number three.
Yeah, so similar kind of where you're coming from with the Commanders, how different they're going to look from last year to this year. I mean, this team is going to look so different, and it's obvious why. They had the number one pick in the draft. The Chicago Bears offseason is just a win on so many levels. Obviously, first, we have Caleb Williams. He is the most talented person to play the quarterback position in the city of Chicago in my lifetime. It's not even close. I'm going to be 40 years old. Mike Gundy says I'm about to become a man, and this is the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. 39 years on this earth. Matt Eberflus, by the way, I think there was growth from him last year. I think the guy who's coming back after an offseason also, I know we can't like put a nominal value on this, but this is someone who's obviously growing into the role as head coach. You begin with Williams, as I said. They also drafted Dunze. I love the idea of a quarterback and wide receiver who can grow together. They'll have the connection together on and off the field. But then you say, hold on. We already have DJ Moore as a number one. Let's bring in a veteran who is reliable to help teach Caleb Williams how to be a pro and Keenan Allen. So right there, that's awesome. But what does every quarterback need, especially young quarterbacks? You need a reliable run game. Is anyone more fit to be that bell cow back in the cold weather than DeAndre Swift, the way he's built, what he was able to do in Philly last year? He played a really big role on that offense. He comes in now. They're going to rely on him on this Chicago offense to take some of that burden off of Williams' shoulders, and I think he's a perfect fit for it. I love what the Bears did on that offense. This is a revamped Bears offense. And again, the most talented signal caller in my lifetime there in Chicago.
Yep, you nailed it. We'll hear more about the Bears coming up in just a bit, but 8.5 on the season win total. You take a look at the North, the Lions plus 150 favorites. We know our buddy Mike Randall likes the Packers in that division at plus 210. The Chicago Bears are plus 265. Just that number itself tells you they had an exquisite offseason, and the Vikings are 10-1. The idea that the Bears, with a rookie at quarterback, are as short as plus 265 in division is wild.
They're sexy, and they're going to be fun to watch on offense, and I don't remember ever tuning in and watching the Bears be a fun offense.
Yeah, it's the most talented quarterback in the history of their franchise. We know about the putrid. Eric Kramer is on the list.
Taking shots at Sid Luckman, man.
Sid Luckman, you got to go back a long way to get to your boy Sid. Yeah, that's a good one. And like I said, you might hear more about the Bears coming up in just a little bit. So we'll continue with it. We've got Gable coming up at the top of the hour. So your three thus far. Best off seasons, Jacksonville,
the Jets,
and then you said Jets and the Bears at three.
Yep. And yours?
Mine are the Lions and the Commanders, and I'm going to get to number three coming up after we speak with Thomas Gable. Looks like you had something else to say there, big guy.
I'll just say I have an honorable mention that missed my list, and it's a weird team that I think I'm the only person on the planet who thinks they're going to be fun next year.
Oh, I know who it is. You tell me, like, every time
I can't quit
in the morning, you're just like, I can't get this team's gonna be lit. I'm like, I don't know.
They're going 0-16.
I don't know if I'm with you. Thomas Gable is next.